I will be starting shortly at 9:30. I hope all my members are coming in, and that AG has been given sharing rights, so that we can be good to go, because I will tender an apology and then just make two announcements, and then AG can start. Ubabosono will assist. In fact, we'll chair with your concurrence, of course, because I have got a commitment this morning. So can you please check so we can be good to go at 9:30?
Recording in progress.
All right, colleagues, it's 9:30. Are we good to go?
More than good.
All right, well, thank you very much. Colleagues, good morning and welcome to our meeting this morning. A briefing by the Auditor General on water affairs related matters. So we will hand over to AG shortly. Just two announcements. Next week, we are due to meet with the Road Accident Fund and the Department of Employment and Labour. The Department of Employment and Labour is coming in on Wednesday, and Road Accident Fund on Tuesday. But the department has requested a change to come in on Tuesday because on Wednesday they've got the portfolio committee. So it's just a change. So we'll swap Road Accident Fund and Employment and Labour. So they'll still continue. And then the Higher Education and Training, which we are resolved to sit on Wednesday evening next week, we will have to put in now a special application for that, because late yesterday afternoon we received the revised program of the National Assembly, and the House is no longer going to adjourn at 6:00. But at 7:15 after questions, because they've added some reports for higher education and training and some protocols for the Standing Committee on Finance. So if we are excused from that, that meeting will continue, but we will communicate by the end of the day or latest tomorrow morning in terms of the response that we get on that one. And then to say, colleagues, regrettably, I'm going to request to tender an apology this morning. I have got a funeral which I must attend, and so I will be in the meeting, but I don't think I'll be in a position to chair. So I've spoken to Ubabosono, and with your concurrence, I was requesting if he could assist with chairing. Thanks, colleagues. Colleagues?
Let me agree on their behalf.
All right. Well, they do say silence is consensus.
I'll support that view.
Thank you so much, Honorable Van Minen. Bab Somme, thank you very much. Over to you. And so the meeting is just with the report by the AG, the presentation. Thanks, colleagues.
Good morning, Chairperson, Honourable Chairperson. Good morning, Honourable Members. From our side, let me also extend my condolences to the Chairperson for his bereavement. And then I'll then thank the committee for the opportunity to come in once again brief the committee on the audit outcomes of the water and sanitation. Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, you would have been furnished with a set of documents. The submission consisted of two packs. The one document or set of pack is a briefing document specifically relating to the Water and Sanitation Department, the Trans-Caledon Tunnel Authority, the Water Trading Entity, as well as the WRC, which is the Water Research Commission. So those four institutions then comprise the one briefing note. And then you would have also been furnished with another briefing note, Honourable Members, which then comprise the outcomes of the water board. The reason why we've split the two sets of results and outcomes are, as you would recall, the department as well as the entities that I first mentioned, the WT, the TCTA and the WRC, those entities fall within what we would normally refer to as the PFMA cycle. So those would be the institutions with the 31 March year end, and those institutions usually give us financial statements for audit on the 31st of May, and we are then required to then submit the audit report on the 31st of July on an annual basis. That would be under normal circumstances in an annual cycle. The water boards, however, even though they are still a PFMA entity or institutions, they have a different year end. Their year ends are aligned to the local government year end, which is from the 1st of July to the 30th of June. So because they've got a different year end, we then bunch their set of results in a separate document. However, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, what I'm going to request is our office, as part of our continued evolution of enhancement of our reporting processes, we've seen it good that we also produce a separate report that deals solely just with the water board. To that effect, the results that we have provided are going to be contained in a report that is now currently being subjected to some stakeholder engagements internally, and that report is intended and planned to be tabled and formally issued in Parliament sometime in September. On that basis, I'm therefore going to request and seek guidance from the committee that we just focus on the one set of briefing notes, which would then deal primarily with the department as well as the WTE, the TCTA, and the WRC. We shall then make all efforts to come and then brief the committee on the outcomes of the water boards when we are very close and near to issuing the water board report as I've outlined. So Chairperson, on that basis, therefore, it means that our engagement and our briefing will focus on the outcomes in the briefing note that was submitted that deals with the department, the WTE, the TCTA, as well as the WRC. So those would be the entities and the institutions that I mentioned with the 31 March year end. Chair, before I also continue, I'd also like to take the opportunity to tender our apology as Office of the AG for the late finalization of the audit outcomes of the portfolio for the current financial year that is now being the subject of today's hearing. The reason being, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, you would recall over and above the impact and implications of COVID, this particular portfolio also has a unique a set of transactions and a project that it runs, and that's the Lesotho Highlands Water Project. The project is being implemented and the actual construction happens across our borders in the country of Lesotho, for which obviously we also then provide funding. And in return, the South African government receives the benefit of the water. To that effect, the accounting transactions and accounting treatment of those particular transactions related to that particular project were the subject of a consultation between ourselves and the TCTA. That consultation made its way all the way up to the Office of the Accountant General, where we sought guidance from the Accountant General. The Accountant General then issued such guidance sometime in the beginning of this calendar year. It was January 2022. So obviously, once the guidance had been issued, we are then required to unpack the guidance, scrutinize it, analyze it, and assess it, and see how we translate into the accounting and ultimately the auditing principles. And we had to duly agree on that between ourselves as the Office of the AG, the Office of the OAG, and then also the portfolio represented by the TCTA and the WT and the department. Once consensus had been reached, the TCTA and the WTE then proceeded to effect the necessary adjustments as was advised by the Office of the OAG. And once those adjustments had been effected, he then presented us with the opportunity only then to go and conclude our audit processes. To that effect, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, the audit report of the TCTA was only finalised on the 28th of March this year, and the audit report of the WTE on the 15th of April, and that all of those processes ultimately then culminated into the tabling of the Water and Sanitation Department's annual report only in June. The reason why the whole chain of events worked like it panned out how it panned out is because, given the fact that on this particular project, the TCTA acts as an agent representing some of the rights and the interest of the country. They have to do and perform certain duties on behalf of the country, making sure that they put the government or the counter institution on the other side in Lesotho into funds so that the project can continue on that side. But before they put them into funds, there are certain governance processes which must take place. And because they are responsible for those and the money that they then have paid over before it then finds its way into the WTE, they have to do certain quality assurance checks. So before you can finalize the WTE's financial statements, you have to make sure that you first finalize the TCTA's financial statements. So the TCTA financial statements influence how you account into the WTE's financial statements. And the WTE's financial statements, Honorable Members and Honorable Chair, you would recall, are contained into one annual report of the department. So the department's audit report was signed off in the previous financial year, but they could not physically table the annual report because the annual report was dependent on the finalization of the WTE financial statements, which was dependent on the finalization of the TCTA financial statements. So I thought it's very important that I give that backdrop, and hence the reason why we find ourselves discussing audit outcomes of the 2020-21 financial year, so very late into the financial year or the calendar year of the 2022 year, when in fact we've already even concluded the updated audit of that particular year. But nonetheless, from an accountability point of view, we just wanted to make sure that the impact that all these delays and processes have on the oversight processes are definitely appreciated. We are well aware of it, and we will always make sure that we try our best to make sure that we don't impede such processes. Honourable Chair, I will then continue with the business order of today, the business end and the business matters of today, which is the briefing on the audit outcomes of the department, the WTE and the TCTA for the 2020 and the 2021 financial year. The briefing note that's currently being displayed, I hope it's legible and everybody can see it, and it's legible for honourable members. I'll start off by doing an interview in terms of the presentation. Once that's done, honourable members, honourable chair, I will then hand over to Jolene. Once I've done my overview, Jolene will then deal specifically with the outcomes insofar as they relate to the department. With me today, I also have Tendani Mafunyiswa. Tendani is the senior manager who's responsible for the audit of the WTE and the TCTA. So with your permission and indulgence, members, they will assist us in interchangeably doing the presentation. We promise that it will not create confusion. We've practiced quite extensively, so it will be a seamless handover each time they then deal with their respective assigned responsibilities. Chair, honorable members, insofar as it relates to the audit outcomes and the overview, the outcomes in the previous financial year, unfortunately, the department had regressed in terms of the financial audit opinion. In the year before the year that we are dealing with, the audit outcomes attained by the department were financially unqualified. But in the previous financial year, which is the 2020-2021 financial year, the department had regressed to attain a qualified audit opinion. The basis for the qualification, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, was the inability of the department to properly account for its processes insofar as it relates to training and development costs. and the related payables. All these costs are contained in the financial statements of the department, and they're related to the Warren Leaks program. So when we were busy with our statutory audit on the financial statements, we then noted that the department may have made certain payments to its implementing agent for which these payments were not always reconciled as required. The lack of those reconciliations, as we unpack them, we then realized that potentially the department could have overpaid, but because they hadn't performed the reconciliations, we were not sure, and so therefore we raised a material finding in this respect, as informed by the lack of these reconciliations. So essentially, the conclusion was whatever amounts relating to the War on Leaks program that they had disclosed within the training and development cost and the related payables, we could not sign off on at that particular point in time as a result of this lack of reconciliation and the supporting evidence that did not always support what was reported. Further to that, the one topical issue that's always also on the purview of those charged with oversight is also the topic of irregular expenditure. Unfortunately, on paragraph number Roman numeral 4, you would see that the department incurred 265 million of irregular expenditure in that particular year. It doesn't sound like a lot when you compare to the running balance that the department currently has of 10 billion. The department and the WTE currently combined, they've got an irregular expenditure running total balance of 9.9 billion, or that was at least at the end of 2021 financial year. That is quite a significant amount that the department needs to deal with. The reason why this amount has ballooned to such a significant figure is the fact that the department, unfortunately, because of the nature of the business, where you deal with long-term projects, if you get it wrong the first year, it means you'll be carrying irregular expenditure for the duration of that particular project and that contract. But also, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, for you to effectively reduce the balance, you must effectively deal with consequence management and finalize your investigations in order for you to then apply for condonation and be able to condone these balances and reduce these balances. But as you know, you can only do the condonation processes once you have done the proper investigations and once you can have done proper root cause determination so that you can hold people accountable in this regard. So that's also one area as we unpack the audit outcomes that my colleagues will touch on. There is a specific finding that we've raised in the audit report of the department and the WTE insofar as it relates to consequence management or the lack thereof, where the information and the evidence that was provided to us or some of the requests that we submitted for management to demonstrate how they've effected consequence management was not always there. So what we're basically referring to is if you've incurred fruitless and wasteful expenditure or irregular expenditure, PFMA is very clear. You must go and conduct your investigations. And in some instances, we were not always furnished with the evidence of how those investigations were conducted. So therefore, you can't effect effective consequence management if you are not finalizing those investigations and making sure you are dealing with those investigations. Then, Honorable Chair, we are also going to touch towards the bottom end of this particular page on the performance of the department and the portfolio. Essentially, from the Office of the AG's point of view, we raised a concern around the level of achievement of the program which we had selected for auditing. Core to the department's business, we had selected Program 3 because that's the program within which a lot of the infrastructure projects are included. And from that point of view, we deemed it quite core and important for the business of the department. And that's the project that was then selected to be subjected for audit. Within that particular program, only 10 out of the 22 indicators had been achieved as of the 2021 financial year, which is quite a cause of concern because, like I mentioned, it's now where you contain all your core infrastructure projects. So you should be delivering how well you are executing on your projects. And these projects, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, we all have the appreciation that they are core and required for the delivery of services to the citizens. So if you experience any challenges, any delays within those particular projects, it means that your overall service delivery objectives are also adversely or negatively impacted because you are not able to then conclude and deliver those projects in a timely basis so that you can then live up to your objectives that you have set yourselves out to achieve as a portfolio. Then, in line with the same topic that we just spoke about now in terms of the underspending, obviously if you, or the underachievement, obviously if you don't achieve, it also impacts on your spending pattern. So the department also materially underspent on its budget with approximately 2.5 billion in this regard, of which The significant portion of it, about 2.2 billion, was within Program 3. If you've listened to how I tried to put the story, I gave context as to Program 3 and the importance of Program 3 and the fact that a lot of our infrastructure projects are contained and happening within Project 3. So if you materially underspend in that program, it means that your projects are also lagging behind, and therefore you are not in a position where you are honoring your commitments in terms of your service delivery objectives. Then, insofar as it relates to the WTE on the next page, thanks, presenter. The WTE had a specific role that it fulfills within the portfolio, key of which was now the representation of the government's interest on Lesotho as well. So they account now for the net of all these transactions. And the benefit that we are receiving for the water that we are receiving and the money that we've paid to make sure that what we've paid for is of equal value to what we've received. And they have to account for these transactions in their financial statements. The challenge in this regard is you're sitting in a situation where the actual construction, the project is being constructed in a different country with different set of rules, but you've given them money which you should account for in your financial statements. And when it comes time to accounting, obviously you need the supporting evidence so that you make sure that you account for these transactions in a reliable, accurate, and complete manner. So it poses certain challenges if you don't have access to the actual project and you don't have access to the information that is required to support what you've reported in your financial statement. So there is one source of contestation that we have been dealing with the accounting officer for. Our view in this regard is that it's the DG or the accounting officer's responsibility to make sure that you have proper supporting evidence to support the information that you are reporting in your financial statements. But insofar as the WTE is concerned, their audit outcomes remained unchanged in the financial year. They still have material issues that they need to deal with insofar as it relates to non-compliance, irregular expenditure, significant amounts of irregular expenditure that's being incurred that they need to deal with. On paragraph Roman numeral number 9 is where we've tried to give context the paragraph that seems to be underscored and also in italic font. The reason why I wanted to bring this particular paragraph to the attention of the oversight structures such as COPA and the portfolio committee is you would have listened as I was trying to pave the way in terms of how the project works, the Lesotho Highlands Water Project. There is a particular body that sits centrally between the two countries that must, I almost want to call it, play like a governance role. There's the Lesotho Highlands Water Commission that represents both the interest of this side and making sure that all the transactions are dealt with in a fair and consistent manner. When we were doing the audit over the past couple of years, in line with the treaty requirements, which is the sort of MOU between the two countries that sets forth what shall be received and what payments must be made, we then realized that what we have been paying over the years and as a country and what we have been receiving in terms of water delivery did not correlate with the value which we have been paying for. So the treaty actually has a table and an annexure that unpacks the exact quantities that the government of South Africa must receive. And we then pay the government of Lesotho a certain amount of royalties for the water that we receive. And in unpacking that particular transaction, like I mentioned, we then realized that there were certain adjustments that were made from 2011. And as a country, the amount of water that we've been receiving in terms of quantities was less than the initial treaty that was signed in 1986. So, but the payments that we had been making were on the quantities as if they were in the original agreement. It didn't take into account the reduced quantities from the 2011 updated signed MOU. So it therefore created a situation where potentially the government of South Africa may have overpaid the government of Lesotho in this regard. This matter was duly brought to the attention of the executive authorities over the past two financial years. They have brought it to the attention of the government of Lesotho. Discussions and negotiations are ongoing in this regard. However, from an accounting point of view, it was important that we highlight this. The department and the WTE and the TCTA in their respective years, depending on the treatment that we then had to conclude on, had made adequate disclosure in their financial statements to indicate to the users that there's contingent asset that is happening that is based on negotiations that must still be finalized. In conclusion, part of the reason why we're also bringing it to attention of the oversight structures is to make sure that it receives the necessary impetus because the matter has been hanging for approximately two financial years with appreciation of the fact that at the higher level, there might be two countries involved that must find each other in terms of a meeting of minds. But it has been ongoing for 2 years, and it requires a finalization so that we can then determine what the true impact on the financial statements will be in this regard. But currently, as it stands, our prelim assessment is that there is a potential overpayment which must then be accounted for, and the recoupment processes must then be implemented in the respective ways. I also mentioned the recoupment processes. The recoupment processes, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, can happen via a manner of ways or a number of ways. One of the ways in which it could happen, you would recall that this project is quite a long-term project. So the contract and the treaty does make provision for when there are adjustments in the contract up and down in a particular year, that you can affect and factor into those adjustments going forward. So it may not necessarily result in a situation where you say, you owe me 100 rand, so therefore you must now effectively pay me the 100 rand as of today. We can still say, because the project has a number of years left in terms of its lifespan, whatever net or up or down amount is payable or receivable, we then factor it into future payments so that we discount future payments in this regard. So, but it's still a matter that requires urgent attention and must be finalized as soon as possible. Then, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, on Roman numeral, which is 13, the second last paragraph, we wanted to highlight at that particular point in time the vacancies in key management in the portfolio. You would recall the portfolio, unfortunately, the department has been one of those that has had an acting DG, an accounting officer, for most of its past 5 to 7 years. Fortunately, the position of accounting officer was filled, as you may be well aware, in January 2022 of this year. But for the year that we were reviewing, which is 31 March 2021, that position remained vacant, and it did cause a bit of problems in regard with the instability in leadership, as well as the CFO position. Those have subsequently been filled, as you would have then been informed by the department. So we are thankful for that. But for the year that we are reviewing and the results that we are unpacking, it was important that we also highlight those as particular contributors to some of the challenges that they may have been experiencing as a portfolio. Then on the next page, thanks, Jolene. Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, as part of the overview, what I would like to also highlight in this regard, we've spoken about consequence management as an area that requires quite significant intervention. And the reason just solely being that if you don't take action, you're not in a position to implement corrective measures and corrective action, and your irregular expenditure and your irregular expenditure and wasteful expenditure balances just keep growing exponentially. As you would note, that at that particular point in time, as of the 31st of March 2021, the portfolio's irregular expenditure was 10 billion, which is one of the highest amounts of irregular expenditure at any given point in time in government. So it's important that investigations are finalized, that consequence management can be effected in this regard, and you can effectively deal with the combination of the balances. Then the last round bullets, the three round bullets that are on the remaining side of the page, these deal with our enhanced powers as the Office of the AG. Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, you would recall that a couple of years ago, the Office of the AG, the enabling legislation was supplemented with the material irregularity process, which is a process that as part of the audit, if we identify material non-compliance that has a significant impact in terms of loss or harm to the public or harm to the institution or as a result of fraud, that we then embark on the material irregularity process, which is a mechanism also to ensure that we enhance and inculcate and foster the right culture of consequence management, sort of to assist the accounting officers and the accounting authorities to also make sure that there's consequence management. In the department for the March 2021 financial year at the DWS, at the department, we had not identified any new material irregularities for that particular year. There was one that was being followed up that related to the 17 million that was paid to a service provider for which it was deemed that no services had been received. So it was basically money paid in vain. There is a court case that's ongoing in this regard. So we are following up and staying close with regard to that matter. The department can also give the committee more details in this regard. Another material irregularity that was raised at the WTE was the one that relates to the raising of the Hazelmere Dam. This project, I know for some members of parliament, has also been quite a cause of concern over the past couple of years. It's been ongoing for a number of years. It's also one of the projects that we've been keeping a close eye on. For members that have been around for a while, would recall that we did raise this as part of our initial value-add audits when we were doing value-add audits in the 2016-17 financial year. And the project, unfortunately, still seems to be experiencing some challenges. And some of these challenges really require the urgent intervention of the accounting officer as well as the executive authority to make sure that we're able to deal with these things. The delays were predominantly relating to the procurement of some of the load cells required for the project. And as you can see, when you read it, it sounds like it's just a procurement issue. Somebody must just do their job, make sure that we actually source these load cells so that we can finalize and move on the project. The material irregularity in this particular specific instance that we had raised related to the standing fees and some of the site re-establishment costs that were incurred as a result of the delays on the project. However, going forward, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, we will also consider the fact that over and above the implications of the standing time and the penalties and the interest, we will also consider the fact that by this inaction, it's actually resulting in harm to the public, which is also in line with our material irregularity processes. So if should the department not move in this regard, they must know that we are also exploring moving in that direction of considering a material irregularity insofar as it relates to harm on the public. And I'll pause there a little bit and also mention that it's important to note for the portfolio that given the role that they play and also the fact that they require very heavily on the implementation, the successful, the timely implementation of quality projects for them to meet their service delivery objectives. As soon as there are delays experienced on the projects, you therefore have an impact on the citizens on the ground, and therefore directly or indirectly may cause harm to the public. And those are some of the things that going forward, we will really have tough discussions with them in this regard, over and above just the fact that you may have paid in money and the financial implications. But we are having those discussions with the accounting officer as well as the executive authority. Then, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, I think I'm going to stop there in terms of my overview. We have spoken on the next page, Jolene, on the challenges experienced on the Lesotho Highlands Water Project and the importance of the project for the country of South Africa, but also the importance of making sure that there are proper processes and systems of internal control on the project to make sure that as a country, when we part with our hard-earned cash and money, that we are receiving equal value and benefit in terms of the quantities of water that we are receiving in this regard. Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, I'm now going to hand over to Jolene. Jolene will do the detailed presentation of the audit outcome starting on page 6. Like I mentioned, I will be supported by Jolene and Tendani, who will then interchange between the sets of information, but it will not have an impact on the presentation as it unfolds. Thanks, Jolene.
Good morning, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members, and to the attendees at the meeting. As was indicated by my business unit leader, I am responsible for the audit of the department, and Mandy will be taking you through the findings relating to that. But at this point in the presentation, we are moving to our Section 2 on the consolidated audit opinion history of the portfolio. So in the graphic presentation that you would see on the screen, we have presented the five-year audit outcomes for the portfolio, where in terms of the legend, you'll notice that green is unqualified with no findings, which is what we refer to as a clean audit, which is where we would like all of the entities to be. And also relevant to this picture, we have the yellow indication, which is unqualified with findings, and the purple coloring indicates qualified audit opinions with findings. So as was initially indicated, there has been a regression from 2019-20 to 2020-2021 with respect to the department that moved from unqualified with findings to being qualified for the 2021 financial year. So that was part of the regression. What was, I think, on the positive side is that the WRC had moved from unqualified with findings to unqualified with no findings, which means that they had attained or reattained a clean audit. I think looking at it over the 5 years, WRC was clean in 2016-17 and 2017-18, regressed for 2 years to unqualified with findings and managed to get back to a clean audit opinion. I think this also highlights the importance of having a strong internal control environment and maintaining that continuously to ensure that entities are able to sustain the clean audit outcomes. With respect to the WRC, we noted that the improvement in its audit outcomes related to the strengthening of the internal controls over expenditure in order to prevent the incurrence of fruitless and wasteful expenditure. And I think the rest of it will talk through some of the details with the next few pages. So on page 7, we have provided some detail relating to the 5-year audit outcomes. It's actually quite an important presentation because it provides you with an indication of how the department has progressed over the 5 years, but also giving you an indication of what are the key things that have persisted over the years. So we've divided this table into three sections relating to the three aspects of our audit report. So highlighted in the light blue, we analyze then the reports on the audit of the financial statements, the report on the audit of predetermined objectives, and our report on the audit of compliance. If we start with the report on the audit of the financial statements, you'll notice that for the department itself, there has been considerable improvement from the 2016-17 and 17-18 financial years, where you will notice that there were at least three qualifications for the department in each of these years. There was improvement in 2018-19 and 19-20, where the department was unqualified. And in the 2021 financial year, we had one qualification matter relating to training and development, as well as payables not recognized, which we will talk to a little bit later in the presentation. What is probably worth noting is that if we look at the matters on fruitless and wasteful expenditure and irregular expenditure, you will notice that the department was qualified in the 17-18 and 16-17 financial years, but they managed to improve their internal control environment to no longer have qualifications since that particular period. And we had isolated qualifications on commitments and training and development for the current year. Maybe what is also significant in this analysis is if we look at the emphasis of matter, we have in the middle of the section, restatement of corresponding figures. And I'd also like to relate that to our report on the audits of compliance, where we speak to annual financial statements and the annual reports. These two matters that we report on here essentially relate to material corrections to the financial statements. And that is an indication that even though the department has been unqualified for 2 years and received the one qualification for the current year, there is still improvements in internal controls that are required to enable them to report the information reliably. So that is an area that the department needs to continue to look at In where we have material corrections to the financial statements, it essentially means that the audit process had identified matters that were incorrect and were materially incorrect, and if they were not allowed to be corrected as part of the audit process, then there would have been further qualifications relating to that. So that is, I think, important to note. I'd also maybe just like to highlight our second bullet under the report on the audit of financial statements. We have for 3 years, since 2016-17 financial year up to the 2018-19 financial year, reported a material uncertainty relating to going concern, where there were significant challenges experienced by the department in managing its cash flow. We have noted some improvement in that. So there were no significant matters that we identified in 2019-20 and 2021 relating to going concern position that we considered necessary to highlight, although there were less important indicators that we will talk to later on as well, relating to the management of cash flows. Maybe also under emphasis of matter, you will notice the second sub-bullet relates to underspending of the vote, where we have identified for the 1920 and 2021 years that there has been significant underspending of the vote. And as previously highlighted by Andreas, I think this is something that the committee needs to look at in terms of its impact on service delivery, which we've spoken to previously. If we look at the report on the audit of predetermined objectives, we have had significant or material findings in the audit report for the 16-17 and 17-18 financial years. However, there has been considerable improvements in the reporting of the performance of the department, and there were no material findings for the next 3 years. If we move on to the report on the audit of compliance, also would like to highlight the third and fourth bullets under here, which essentially relates to expenditure management and consequence management. For expenditure management, the findings related primarily to the incurrence of irregular expenditure by the department. We will continue to talk about irregular expenditure a little bit later in the presentation, but what is important to note is that the department has incurred material amounts of irregular expenditure across the 5 years that is being analyzed. And the reporting matter on consequence management is also related to irregular expenditure. For 5 years, we have also reported that the department has not been adequately implementing consequence management, and that also, as previously indicated, relates to the delays in the investigation processes and the delays in the implementation of adequate processes to identify what went wrong in the process of incurring irregular expenditure and what corrective action should be taken, and when necessary, how the funds should be recovered where the investigation deems it so. So those are also two areas that the department has not been able to get right over the last 5 years, so something that they need to continue to consider. I think with that, I'll then hand over to Tenani to take us through the WTE. Thank you, Tenani.
And thank you, Jolene. Good morning, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. I am Tendani Stanley Mafunyiswa. Like Andres indicated, I am the Senior Manager responsible for the Water Trading Entity and the TCTA. So I'll take you through then the audit outcomes of Water Trading Entity and TCTA. So if we look at this five-year comparison of the Water Trading Entity, you can see that from the 2018 and 2019 financial year, to 2019-20 and 2020-21 in terms of the report on the audit of financial statements, there has been some sort of improvement. As you can see from 2018-19 to the prior years, you see the color there is purple, which means they were qualified on certain areas in the financial statements. But moving from 2019-20 to 2020-21, they were unqualified, however, with findings. So there has been a slight improvement there in terms of the audit outcomes. So if we look at the areas of qualification that has improved, if we look, we're looking at non-current assets, this mainly related to your infrastructure assets, because the entity spends mostly on your infrastructure asset. So in the prior years, there were issues in terms of the accounting of those infrastructure assets and impairment of those infrastructure assets. But that has improved. I must just indicate that, you know, even in the current year, we still do identify issues in the infrastructure asset space. However, management do correct those material misstatements that we do identify, and then you will then see that we report those as compliance issues, rather than, you know, qualifying their financial statements, because the issues would have been corrected in time for us to then perform an audit on the adjusted figures. Also, again, if you look at your current assets in the 2018-19 financial year, those were also then qualified. I think that it related mainly to the acid mine drainage receivable. I think I will touch on it when I present on the TCTA, because this affected both the TCTA and the WTE. So in terms of the financial statements, there has been some sort of an improvement. The fruitless and wasteful expenditure and irregular expenditure, similar to what Jolene has already indicated there, I will not repeat on that one. In terms of going concern, again, it's also aligned to what Jolene has already indicated on the WS. On evidence of matter, paragraphs, restatement is aligned to the WS. It's those issues that we are saying, you know, we are still identifying issues in the financial statements. And then you will then have paragraphs on material impairments on trade receivables. This just relates to, the WTE has a significant amount relating to receivables from the sale of water, because obviously they sell water to municipalities and to your water board. So there is quite a significant amount of receivables there. They do collect, but their collection is a bit slow. So you then end up having a significant amount of impairments of those trade receivables. So that's why you see we report on it as an emphasis of matter. Contingent asset, this relates to what Andres was indicating, relating to the amounts that we have potentially overpaid to Lesotho, because we are paying on quantities which are as per the treaty of 1986 instead of the revised treaty, which was revised, I think, in 2011. So then we have potentially overpaid there. So there is then a contingent asset. So here we do then just refer the user to the disclosure in the financial statement, which then talks about the contingent asset coming from the South Africa and Lesotho arrangements. So that's it on the financial statements. If we look at the report on predetermined objectives, so the WTE, their performance information is reported in the books of the Department of Water and Sanitation. So the outcomes then were covered by Jolene. In terms of report on audit of compliance, like I indicated, there has been errors that we've identified in the financial statements. Those errors were then corrected. That's why we ended up with an unqualified audit opinion in 2019-20 and 2020-21. But we will touch on this as we as and when we continue with the presentation. In terms of expenditure management, similar to what Jolene has indicated, we will touch on this when we proceed with the presentation. Revenue management, as again, it talks back to collection of these debtors. I think in the past we had an issue with the institution not really following up on debtors in line with their policies. So there has been then an improvement. The entity has since developed a new policy on debt management. And even though they are not fully collecting, they are then complying to the specific requirements of the police in terms of, you know, what must they do when an entity has not yet paid them within 30 days, and then what are the steps that they need to follow when they have not yet received payment within 60 days. So that they have been following up on, but you know, there is still issues that they have with collection, but we are not then indicating it as a compliance finding because they are following up on debtors in line with their policies. In terms of procurement and contract management, there has been non-compliance with the procurement transcripts, and this has led to, you know, irregular expenditure, which we will then touch on during the presentation. The issues are on your local content procurement and also mostly on the on tender processes. In terms of consequence management, again, there are issues there with consequence management, and this has also then led to the increase in irregular expenditure and also the non-clearing of the balance of irregular expenditure. We do have a section on irregular and fruitless and wasteful expenditure. We will talk about this in detail when we get to that section. Thanks, Julie. You can move on to the next page. Then in terms of the TCPA's audit, we took back the TCTA's audit in the 2018-19 financial year, and then in that year there was a qualification. Your qualification was on the current assets, which is the AMD receivable. It is also then linked to the WTE because the TCTA gets a directive from the department to say, can you please then construct acid mine drainage plants? You will then get funding from the market, and then you will then recover these funds from the water trading entity. So there were misstatements in terms of the funds that were supposed to be receivable from the department or from the water trading entity. So this then affected the books of both entities. That's why there is qualification on there was qualification in 2018-19 in both books. But that is obviously then improved. The receivable is now correctly accounted for. That's why you don't then see this qualification moving forward to the 2019-20 and 2020-21. The other qualification then was on your provision for compensation. This related to compensation that needed to be paid to Lesotho. Basically, what happens is then this Lesotho Highlands Water Project, where in construction, most of the construction takes place in Lesotho, and where these dams are built, where the tunnels are built to transport the water from Lesotho to South Africa. So when that happens, the residents in Lesotho will then need to be moved, and they need to then to be compensated for the land that they occupied before they were moved. So this provision for compensation was not correctly then accounted for in the books of the TCTA then, but that has since been resolved. So that's why you don't see then that qualification moving forward to the 2019-2020 financial years. Then revenue will talk to your AMD. There is a receivable, then there obviously then should be a revenue relating to that. But again, it doesn't really mean that in the 2019-20 and 2020-21 we didn't identify any misstatements. We did identify misstatements in the financial statements. That's why you will then see under on audit compliance where I've indicated that there were misstatements which we identified were corrected in the financial statements. If we move on to your going concern, there were also then going concern issues noted in the 2018-19 financial year. The position really has improved. The TCTA has positive, quite a substantial positive balance. They are paying and will still continue to pay in future their liabilities that they have. Because normally what they do is they raise loans to finance infrastructure projects. So they have quite a big balance of loans that are still outstanding, but they are paying those loans in terms of the agreements with the lenders and should still be able to continue to pay in future based on the bank balances that they have and the amount of receivable they have from the WTE. In terms of emphasis of matter, again, it talks to your statement of corresponding figures relating to material findings that we've identified. I think we have touched on this one. There was also then material impairments that we referred the user to. This related to an investment which was made to Land Bank, but as we all know, Land Bank in the past financial years, they have then experienced financial difficulties, and then they needed to then go back to that initial arrangement to say, we are having financial issues, can we then pay you over a period of 5 years instead of the initial period of 2 years, then that obviously then says there are indicators of impairments in that investment. So the investment is not really written off, it's just then impaired to allow for any losses that may be then incurred in that investment. But there has been regular follow-up from the TCTA on the investment, and Land Bank is paying in line with the new arrangement. In terms of your contingent liabilities or contingent assets, you will then see it only in the 2019-20 financial year. It relates to the royalties over payments. The arrangement is that these royalties over payment will be paid by the TCTA, and TCTA recovers them from the Department of Water Sanitation or Water Trading Entity. So the TCTA then remains an agent. They need to then ensure that the Republic of South Africa is receiving the correct quantities of water in line with the treaty which was signed, because TCTA is also part of that treaty. So the reason why it's only in the 2019-20 financial year is that there was that consultation which was made, which Andres indicated during the opening, to say that TCP is just merely an agent in this transaction. If there is a receivable that needs to that is due to South Africa, the receivable will be due to the WTE and not the TCTA. TCTA can receive the distributable, but they would then need to immediately pay it over to the WTE. So hence then we didn't report on it in the 2021 financial year at the TCTA, because it's basically a receivable of the WTE. It's now only accounted for as a contingent asset in the books of WTE and not the books of TCTA, because it's not their contingent asset, they're just an agent there. So in terms of report on predetermined objectives, they also then report on audit of performance information. There is an objective that we track there which relates to your acid mine drainage. It's the directive which they were given by the Department of Water and Sanitation. We have then identified material findings in the 2018-19 financial year, 2019-20, but in the 2020-21, we didn't identify material findings. We did identify, but they were corrected. So in the final audit report, there weren't any material findings. All right. In terms of audit of compliance, I think it's aligned to what we've indicated relating to the DWS and also the WTE. We will then cover as and when we move on with the presentation. I will then hand over back to Jolene. Thank you very much.
Danny. So we have spent some time on the overview. We will therefore just go through the next few pages a bit more quicker in the interest of time. If we look at the qualification areas relating to the financial statements, we have mentioned the training and development qualification and as well as impacting on the payables not recognized. I will take you through that. In terms of an emphasis of matter, an emphasis of matter does not imply a qualification. These are just matters that we want to highlight to the readers of the audit report and the financial statements. So we just highlight certain matters, and as part of that process for the department, we have highlighted the restatement of corresponding figures, which essentially relate to errors that were identified in the current year but relate to the prior period. Because they were material, we chose to highlight them. And then in respect of underspending of the vote, we have touched on that previously as well, and the impact of that. Due to the material amount of underspending on the vote, we have chosen to highlight that in the audit report as well. Maybe also with the permission of the chair, we have prepared a separate one slide presentation to just explain and to give the committee some clarity on the qualification relating to training and development and payables not recognized. So I'm just going to switch quickly to that presentation, which we've shared with the secretariat to make available to the members as well. But I'd just like to also talk to that very quickly. I'm just going to change. Thank you. Essentially, the department was qualified on the component training and development, and as well as payables not recognized. As we've indicated previously, essentially, in trying to audit these components, we identified that in respect of one contract, we were unable to get sufficient audit evidence to confirm that services in the form of training was received in respect of the payments that were made for the services for the training, essentially. This particular item related to the War on Leaks project, whereby the department had entered into implementing agent agreements. So with this presentation, we are just attempting to give you some background on the nature of the arrangement, what was expected, and what were some of the concerns that we raised that resulted in the qualification. So we've indicated that the objective of the War on Leaks program was to train and develop 15,000 unemployed youth with a view to addressing the water losses across the country. There was an implementing agent protocol agreement that was signed between DWS, Rand Water, and EWCETA, whereby the department was the principal in the arrangement and was responsible for overseeing the program and providing funding. Rand Water was responsible for recruiting learners and for the placement of those learners for work-based experience, and EWCETA was responsible for appointing a training service provider to facilitate, post, and train and certify learners. We have noted that at the data of the audit. There were separate contracts that were entered into for phase one, which started in 2015, and a phase two, which started in 2016. The 2015 contract had intended to recruit 3,000 trainees in total, being 1,000 water agents and 2,000 artisans. And the amount that was budgeted for this or contracted for was an amount of 480 million rands. This particular contract was in terms of the appointment of a service provider to assist with the training itself. The department had indicated in their 2019 annual performance report that they had targeted to train 2,640 learners eventually, but they had achieved 1,689 learners. So that was phase one. Phase two was contracted. The contract had started in 2016. The objective was to recruit 7,000 trainees, which is 2,000 water agents and 5,000 artisans. The amount budgeted in terms of the service, in terms of the training itself, and the contract that was awarded was an amount of 1.3 billion. And we've noted that the amount targeted was 6,566 learners and an amount of 4,396 actual learners trained was achieved. The total expenditure is also reflected, combined between Groundwater and EWCETA. An amount of about 3.4 billion was paid for this particular project. In looking at this particular contract and the supporting documentation for these, we noted that the contract has specified specific milestones for the contract. The three milestones are also listed. The essence of it was for milestone one, that there should have been proof that all 5,000 learners or artisans that have been recruited have been placed at various TVET or private colleges and have been undergoing training. I think through the course of the contract, there were some changes to that particular milestone. And in auditing this, we noted that the actual number of learners trained did not reach 5,000 learners. However, the payments that were made were in line with the requirements of the contract for 5,000 learners, and therefore we were unable to confirm, you know, that, or our view was that the number of learners was less than what was actually contracted for, and therefore the full amount could not have been paid. We noted that the department had not done a reconciliation to confirm the actual number of learners that have been trained. And because they could not do that, we could not get audit assurance that the amount that was paid for was in line with the amount that they should have been paid given the partial training compared to what was actually contracted for. And because we couldn't get sufficient information, we had a limitation on our side. And we had requested that the department go back and perform these reconciliations. I think also related to reconciliations, for milestone two, we note there was a requirement that there must be proof of at least 60 to 70% of the 5,000 artisanship learners that should have been placed at various workplaces for experiential training. And then milestone three was proof that 2,000 learners have completed 20% to 30% of their one-year water agent training qualification. And again, with these particular milestones, we could not get adequate evidence in the form of reconciliations and evidence of actual training to confirm the number of learners. And therefore, we could not be comfortable that the amount paid was in line with the actual training that was performed. And this has resulted then in the qualification matter that has been raised. Thank you. I'm going to stop sharing on this, and I'm going to then hand over to Tendani to take us through WGE.
Julie, While you are just projecting, I'll start. Yeah, so in terms of the WTE and TCTA, like I indicated, the audit outcomes were not were unqualified with findings. So, but we did have emphasis of meta paragraphs in the audit report. And then in terms of those really do not, they are just paragraphs where we are referring the user of the financial statements to note wherein significant disclosures were made. So in terms of WTE, you have a restatement of corresponding figures. I think I've already touched on this when I presented the audit outcome. So this is basically wherein management restated prior year figures because of errors that were identified after the year had ended. So I think here the key takeaway is that there should be adequate, you know, reviews of the financial statements to ensure that errors are identified before the financial statements for that specific year are finalized. And also then there was another emphasis of meta WTE of the royalties. Yeah, but I think also we have we have presented on this. The recommendation is just that, you know, leadership under guidance of the minister should take effective steps to ensure that this process of the recomputation of the royalty rate is finalized. It has been taking a significant amount of time because we identified this finding in the 2019-20 financial year, and still at this current point it's still not yet resolved. We do understand that there have been engagements with the government of Lesotho, but the issue is still not yet finalized. So it should be attended with the amount of speed it requires. In terms of the TCTA, it's the same issue. You have a restatement of corresponding figures, which I've indicated. Then you have the impairment of the investment, which I spoke about. It relates to the Landbank investment. And I think, again, the issue was this investment was also, the impairment was also not accounted for when we started with our audit. So just the reviews of the financial statements and also before the entity enters into this investment decisions, they should then just ensure that the entity they are investing with it's liquid and it doesn't appear to have any indicators of financial issues. Thanks, Julie. And then back to you. Thank you.
Thanks, Bengani. So the next section moves on to the report on the audit of the annual performance reports. As previously indicated, there were no material findings that we've reported. We did identify material misstatements, but because management was able to correct it, we were able to clear the matter and it was not reported. We do indicate that there was material corrections relating to this particular program. We had selected program 3 for testing, which is water infrastructure development, which we consider to be a material component directly relating to service delivery aspects. We have highlighted in the briefing document, however, the some of the indicators that we've picked up across the programs that we wanted to highlight, not just from a service delivery point of view, but maybe the first thing we wanted to highlight was the fact that there were changes to the targets that were planned for the year. So in the table that's provided, we have indicated what was originally planned, what was adjusted. There were a couple of adjustments. I think the final adjusted figures are indicated together with the achievement. With the orange and the red blocks, we are indicating that the department was not able to achieve the adjusted lower planned targets. for the committee to note. The matters in green have been achieved, but we consider them to be material indicators, so we have included them. With the adjustments, I think while we do note that this particular year was impacted by the lockdowns resulting from COVID-19, I think it's important for the committee to also consider, what is the impact on service delivery where there has been non-achievement of indicators. And where this non-achievement, has occurred, it's important for the committee to also determine from the department what are the steps that will be taken to be able to correct this in future, for the future period as well, which is why it's also being highlighted. I think from service delivery point of view, the non-achievement here would impact on the delivery of a basic service, which is water. It is significant. In terms of the particular indicators that we have highlighted in here, you'll notice that a number of them relate to the RBIC grant, Regional Bulk Infrastructure grant. Again, we've also highlighted in the audit report underspending in this grant, which then correlates with the non-achievement in certain respects. If we look at the RBIC grant and then some of the bigger projects that the department is overseeing or is responsible for, it's important to note that these either relate to the expansion of water infrastructure projects to areas that don't currently receive water, or it relates to upgrading of infrastructure facilities. With respect to expansion of services, it is important also to note that where these indicators are not achieved, it could directly impact on water being received by certain by certain citizens or members of the community. In respect of the upgrading of the infrastructure, it impacts on the reliable delivery of water, where aging infrastructure has particular consequences in terms of water delivery, and therefore the delays in these projects could have significant impacts for the communities that they are intended to service. So those are just the key things that we wanted to highlight in respect of the annual performance report of the department. The next page in the table, the second table, we've also just highlighted to the committee the amount of the budget that has been spent related to the program, so that you're able to then correlate spending, underspending, and then the achievements against the program, noting that the department has achieved 45% for program 3, which we had selected for testing, and overall there's an achievement of about 65%. Thank you,
Ndani. Okay, thanks, Julie. Honorable Chair and members, like I indicated before, for WTE, their performance is covered under the Department of Water and Sanitation. So I will not cover on the WTE in terms of performance. Jolene has already covered that. In terms of the TCTA, we have selected the objective of the acid mine drainage, which is basically to operate and maintain the acid mine drainage in terms of the requirements which were then laid down by the Department of Water and Sanitation. So the TCTA were given the directives to operate and maintain these acid mine drainage plants. There are three acid mine drainage plants. One on the Western Basin, there's the Central Basin, and the Eastern, the Eastern Basin. What they do, what these basins do, is the main objective is to then keep the level of water in the mine voids within a certain level, because the water seems to continue rise in the mine void. So they are trying to ensure that the rise in the water doesn't then reach certain levels, which will then have a negative environmental impacts, or they will then mix with the water that flows into the Vaal River system and then contaminate the water that we drink or we use for our day-to-day requirements. So in terms of the achievements, as you can see, they had four indicators in that objective. They've only achieved 50% of the indicators. So in terms of the Western Basin, they didn't achieve the levels required. So the water level was above the collar level. The point really, it didn't pose any environmental dangers, because the level, when the levels were set, they were a bit conservative to say, you know what, the danger level is here, but our target will be certain meters below the danger levels. So they weren't any environmental dangers, but they still didn't meet that the level that they had set. And the reasons that we got from management was that, you know, on the last quarter of the financial year, of last quarter of 2021, there were quite a significant heavy rains in Gauteng. And what that does is that you have basins wherein you need to extract the water and you clean it, and then they will then be part, they will then be cleaned within those basins and released into the Vaal River system. So the basins were already then full because of the heavy rainfalls. Those basins are not covered. They are open basins, because they will then also catch the rainwater, which will then just increase the capacity of water, which is pumped back to the Vaal River system. So so they couldn't then pump the required quantities because the basins were already full. If we look at the central basin, they did achieve their target. This is one of their smaller, it's the smallest of the three basins. In terms of the eastern basin, they really have had issues with that basin. In the 2021 financial year, they had a failure in their borehole sludge disposal system. And if we're looking into, I'm not going to talk about the outcomes of 2021-22, but maybe it's key that I just also highlight this one. So in the current 2021-22, they also had issues in terms of their pumping, in terms of their pumps, where their pumps were not functional throughout. You know, they have three pumps. One was not functional from the second quarter, the other one from the third quarter, then the other one from the fourth quarter. So the basin was fully not functional from February. So that is an issue. But they are looking into that. We hope then they will resume the eastern operating and maintaining that eastern basin. But yeah, they have issues there. And then if we then look at the last indicator, it just talks to the water that is being cleaned meeting the requirements of DWS specification, because they, you know, they extract that acid mine drainage and they clean it and release it as clean water to the Vaal River system. So that water must then just be checked to ensure that is that water clean and does it adhere to the specification of the DWS. So that one, when we audited it, we found that, you know, the water samples that were taken were compliant with the DWS specification. Thank you, Honorable Chair and members. I'll hand over back to Julie. Thank you.
Thank you, Benani. So we're moving on to the report on the audit of compliance with legislation. I will talk to all of the matters relating to the department. So we'll just go through those only. We have touched on them previously, so I'll be kind of quick. In terms of the first matter, the annual financial statements, we have identified material misstatements in the financial statements. The one matter that could not be cleared is the limitation that we had relating to training and development, and payables not recognized, and therefore, you know, that also resulted in a qualification matter being reported. There were some material misstatements relating to disclosure items that the department was able to correct. However, because it was a material correction, it is also reported in here. So this is an area that, the department must look at to ensure that there's appropriate action plans in place to address the weaknesses in the internal control environment that resulted in the errors coming through the system that were not detected through management's own internal control processes. The second area of compliance that was reported on is expenditure management. As previously mentioned, it relates to irregular expenditure. During the year, the department had incurred an amount of 265 million. Which is a material amount. Again, you know, this is an area that the department should develop an appropriate plan for to ensure that there is an understanding of the legislative requirements around the expenditure process to ensure that there are adequate controls in place to identify where non-compliance occurs, and that the department is appropriately preventing at this stage the irregular expenditure from being incurred. And then the third matter that was reported for the department related to consequence management, again related to the irregular expenditure. Whenever a particular instance of irregular expenditure is incurred, it is the responsibility of the department to investigate the reasons and the circumstances around that irregular expenditure and to determine what corrective action should be taken and when necessary or applicable that the funds that should be recovered from the responsible individuals. So we have reported that for irregular expenditure, there have been delays in the investigation process, and that has resulted in the in consequence management processes not being implemented in a timely manner. Similar to that, we have also reported that there have been certain allegations of financial misconduct committed by various officials in the department. The department is in the process of investigating these allegations. However, they were not the investigations were not finalized by the time the audit was done, which had then contributed to the finding around the lack of adequate consequence management processes being implemented related to that. Thank you, Tendani.
Thank you, Jolene. Yeah, so I will then touch on the compliance findings relating to WTE and TCTA. In terms of, like, we've already touched on this, I'll also move very fast. In terms of WTE and TCTA, like I've already indicated, they were material misstatements which were then identified during the audit, but management corrected this. That's why then we didn't then qualify the financial statements. If we are to look at the areas of material misstatements at WTE, we were looking at a non-disclosure of significantly delayed projects. We were looking at your fruitless and wasteful expenditures. There were misstatements there on the amount of fruitless and wasteful expenditure. TCTA, it's the misstatements were mostly as a result of the change in accounting treatment of the Lesotho Highlands Water Project, wherein now the construction costs, your royalties, operations and maintenance, which took place in Lesotho, needed to only be accounted for in the books, in the income statement or statement of comprehensive income of the WTE instead of the TCTA. So that then resulted in material adjustment into the financial statements of the WTE. If we can move on to the next page, thanks, Julie. And in terms of your expenditure management, we have irregular expenditure which was incurred at WTE amounting to 179 million. We also had fruitless and wasteful expenditure amounting to 157 million. Chair and members, you can see those are really material values because, I mean, for fruitless and wasteful expenditure, they were consideration received for the 157 million which was paid, and this fruitless and wasteful expenditure, the majority of it really related to you know, expenditures in internal and external projects where in, say, maybe there has been delays in those projects and but the entity still incurred costs. Maybe, you know, if you've already set up a site but you are not performing any construction, you will then need to be paying electricity for that site, which you wouldn't be paying if you hadn't set up that site before all your ducks were in a row to start constructing. If we look at maybe the Glen William Dam project, there they are incurring costs. They've already set up a site. They had already employed the local community to assist in with the construction, but there is nothing happening in terms of construction because there are project delays. So they are then paying labor that they were not supposed to be paying had they then resolved the issues relating to the procurement, and then the employees would have had work to perform. But yeah, these are the issues that results in this fruitless and wasteful expenditure. And if we look at TCTA, they did incur irregular expenditure, but it's just 1.7 million. It's actually an improvement from the previous years. I think in the prior year they had 140 million. The improvement was just as a result of project centralizing of their contracts management function. We did comment management in terms of this, and it should then be applied across. If we can move on, thanks, Jolene. In terms of consequence management, it's exactly as Jolene had indicated, both for WTE and TCTA. It's because consequence management is not adequately taken in terms of the irregular expenditure, fruitless and wasteful expenditure, and issues of financial misconduct that were identified. Thanks, Jolene. We can move on. In terms of procurement and contract management, WTE, like I've indicated, they have instead this way in, they did not comply with procurement task scripts. Most of these were on competitive bids where goods were procured without competitive bids, but you know your procurement transcripts actually required that you should have performed a competitive bidding process. There were instances that we identified relating to local content where the bid documentation did not specify the commodities designated for local content and production. Thanks. That's it from my side on compliance. Thank you.
Thanks, Tindani. I think we will now move on to the unauthorized, irregular, fruitless and wasteful expenditure. In the interest of time, Tindani will take us through that. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you. In terms of unauthorized, irregular, fruitless and wasteful expenditure, I'll start with unauthorized expenditure. There isn't any unauthorized expenditure in the department. We didn't identify it. In terms of irregular expenditure, I think, yeah, we have been really highlighting on this one, but let me just then put a bit more context into the irregular expenditure. So the graph there just indicates irregular expenditure over the 2 years. In the 2021 financial year, there was irregular expenditure amounting to 452 million, which was disclosed in the books of the TCTA, WTE, and DWS. In 2019-20, it was 979 million. So you can see that the has actually been a reduction, but there is still, you know, a regular expenditure of 452 million is still significant. So what management should do here is they should ensure that procurement is in line with the procurement transcripts. Most of this irregular expenditure comes from your procurement. If we just look into the breakdown of that 452 million, 59% relates to the department, which is about 265 million. Julian spoke about this one. 39% relates to WTE, which is 179 million, and only then 1.7 million related to the TCTA, which is an improvement. I think the practice should then be shared amongst the department and the other entity. In terms of the investigation of previous years' irregular expenditure, we also then performed tests to check if the management is performing investigation into prior irregular expenditure. What we've identified was, you know, although investigation had commenced, they were not yet finalized, and they're taking then a significant amount of time, because in terms of the irregular expenditure framework, there are timelines which are stipulated, but management did not adhere to those timelines. And this is why we have a significant balance of irregular expenditure. I think when Andries indicated in the beginning, he said at the department there's about 10 billion balance of irregular expenditure. At the WTE, there's about 8 billion balance of irregular expenditure. At TCTA, there's about 800 million balance of irregular expenditure. I do understand it's irregular expenditure that has accumulated over the years, but it's not being resolved because the slowness of the investigation, the consequence management's not been taken, and we have then reported on these issues in the management report. If we can move on to the next way in, we just then focus on the irregular expenditure incurred by the department. So that is just a graphical representation of the irregular expenditure at the department. As you can see that in terms of procurement of goods and services, it's about 47% of the 265 million. And then infrastructure is 53% of the 264 million. It then translates to 140 million. Of that 140 million, the 81 million related to one project, which is the Mopani emergency water and wastewater intervention. So there was about 81 million relating just to that one project in the 2021 financial year, and then the rest related to, you know, other projects way in the way issues with extensions of contracts which were not approved by the relevant officials. Where you had your amounts, contract amounts exceeded, and then just, you know, they exceeded, but there wasn't any new procurement made or proper steps taken to ensure that approval is obtained from the relevant official. Yeah, in terms of your goods and services, there was an amount of 124 million, which also then resulted in the proper procurement processes not being followed. Of that 124 million, really, we didn't identify any financial loss. The goods and services were received, but however, the procurement process was not aligned to the procurement transcripts. If we can move on to the WTE irregular expenditure. A total of 179 million was incurred, which I have indicated. It was an increase from the prior year figure of 142 million. It means that the processes are not improving, the controls are not improving in this area. If we can just look at the material amount, there was about 162 million, which related to contracts which were again varied without proper approval or without pre-approval from National Treasury. This related to security contracts across water trading entities offices in South Africa. So yeah, it's quite a significant amount So I think I'll just focus on that one. The others relate to still procurement processes not being adhered to. In terms of the TCTA, I'm not going to dwell much on that one. Like I've indicated, there was an improvement, but I mean, still there is irregular expenditure. We ideally we would want this the department and the entities not to see them not incurring any irregular expenditure. And I think what comes out here is consequence management. Consequence management steps are not being taken. This then results in officials repeating the same transaction year on year, and which then results in an increase in the balance of fruitless and wasteful expenditure and irregular expenditure. If we can then move on, Julie, to the next one, fruitless and wasteful expenditure. Majority of the fruitless and wasteful expenditure comes from the WTE. I think that is what I'm just going to touch on. If you look, we have a balance of 159 in the 2021 financial year. It is a reduction from 354 million. But again, this is just payments for no consideration. You paid and you didn't receive anything. It's fruitless, it's incurred in vain, and could have been prevented if management took the necessary steps. So it talks of a breakdown in controls leading to money being lost. Like I indicated, majority is WTE. So out of the 159 million, WTE actually contributes 158 million, with the TCTA at 1.3 million and at the department at just 14,000. So the WTE expenditure, like I indicated, it comes from projects wherein, you know, there is slow movement in the projects, but you are incurring costs. You know, there is nothing that is happening in those projects for a number of years, but you are incurring costs. To just maybe mention a few projects, there is the project in Njelele, the Njelele Canal. I do understand that now there has been movement in that project, but there had been costs incurred there relating to fruitless and wasteful expenditure. There is the Mutoti project, which is the raising of the Hazelmere Dam. Andres also spoke about this one. We actually here even raised a material irregularity to say your procurement processes are resulting in standing time fees, site reestablishment costs. And these are costs which could have been prevented had you procured these things in time, had you had proper project management processes. So the other one is your Flagfontein Canal. Also, this project has also been going for quite a significant amount of time, and the costs are just, you know, they keep on just skyrocketing. But when you compare to the actual progress being made on the project, it's not aligned to the cost. So you are losing funds there for no consideration. The other one is the Glen William Dam project. I do understand this one was also in the media for quite a lot in the, I think, the current year, 2021-22 financial year. The project was started somewhere in 2011. So there has been quite significant amount of costs being incurred in that project. But there hasn't been any movement. I mean, if you go to, we actually went to visit the Glen William Dam project. There hasn't been the construction that has taken place, you know, is limited to access points changing, because the road used to pass by the area where they need to work on the project, just diverting the road to the new the designated road. But if you look at the actual dam wall, the construction has not yet commenced from 2011, and the site has been set up. They are incurring costs. There is a project manager who comes there almost every day dedicated to that project, but there is no movement because there are procurement delays. So yeah, it's quite worrying that there are these costs that are being incurred, but no progress in the project. And again, obviously, then it will then touch on to the delay in the delivery of water to the farmers, the delays in the water to the designated to users. I will end there in terms of fruitless and wasteful expenditure. Thanks, Julie.
And Danny, it's myself taking over. Thank you, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members. We've reached the end of our presentation, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members. We do appreciate and want to thank you for your patience so far. It was quite a bit of information. We tried to structure it as best as possibly as we could, and also trying to highlight some of the more important and salient items and matters for the attention of the committee. Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, obviously, whenever we come and we have the privilege of coming to engage oversight on these platforms, we also try and sort of give some form of recommendations or leave the committees with at least some matters where we feel if we spend some time and focus on that, it'll result in the traction or movement in the right direction. So from today's session, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, the one thing that we would like to leave the committee with is a key message to ask the engagement, the accounting officer, as well as the executive authority, how are they going about focusing and making sure that they're implementing proper controls, especially preventative controls? So the issue here would be you must have systems of internal control that are preventing you from having some of these problems that would have been highlighted here today, of which one is obviously key in making sure that we don't find ourselves falling afoul of the material irregularity processes, that we can implement and focus on the implementation of proper preventative controls. Those would be on the area of supply chain management, as you've heard, when we are procuring, make sure our procurement plans are in place, and then obviously ensuring that we do have measures to comply. And then where we are not able to comply with the prescripts, let's make sure that and consequence management continues to be a focus. So, even though there might be some things happening in the background, the speed within which some of those interventions are happening or being implemented really needs to be up to make sure that we are effectively dealing with the balance. But not only that, in dealing with the balance, but also to make sure that we prevent future incurrence of irregular expenditure. And then coupled to that also, if you look at the delays that would have been highlighted on some of the projects, the real key message here is that it has an adverse or a negative impact on your service, your own service delivery objective that you would have set for yourself as a portfolio. So really, we should spend a little bit more time in dealing with those challenges in terms of the management, the effective and successful management of these projects so that it doesn't adversely impact on our service delivery objectives. So management should really develop an action plan to make sure that they are proactively dealing with issues. And we do appreciate that there might be a plethora or many contributing factors that result in delays in projects, such as strikes or COVID. But on the main, a number of these also relate to our own ineffective procurement processes that could be dealt with slightly differently and in a better manner that would result in these projects moving a little bit faster and quicker. Obviously, make sure that we get quality projects, but the timing thereof is also quite critical and important. And then I'm going to end off the Warren Leaks project. The accounting officer has made strides with the minister in the current financial year, and they've engaged the implementing agents and the service provider that was providing the training. They are busy having engagement. As we noted earlier, there might be a potential receivable that must flow to the department, but we will then give more context and more detail as informed by the 31 March 22 financial year and audit in this regard. But we certainly did unpack the Warren Leaks program and try to make sure that at least there was some value for money that was received on the project. Lastly, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, we would also really advocate that the interventions and the engagements that must happen between the two countries and the political principles must be expedited to make sure that this issue of the royalty payments is put to bed once and effectively once and for always. based on the treaty and the information and the calculations that must be concluded in this regard to make sure that as a country, whatever we've paid for is of equal value to what we have received. Thank you, Honorable Chair. Thank you, Honorable Members. We will take questions, comments, and input at this point in time.
Well, thank you very much, Andres and your team. Thanks, colleagues. Good morning. The chair, as he has indicated, has apologized, and therefore I would assist in terms of facilitating the discussions around the reports, which are so extensive, covering the range of matters relating to water and related services and entities which are aligned with the department as indicated by the presenters, WTE and TCTA respectively. The audit has got a range of notable instances which we need to take note of and to even probe further and that with the intention to enhance functionality and the qualitative nature of water services delivery in the country. Over to you, colleagues, and those who would want to ask questions in relation to the report, are free to do so. I'm awaiting hands here. Honorable von Nienen. Over to Honorable von Nienen.
Thanks very much, Chair. I appreciate that. What I want to ask, I don't know why my video doesn't seem to be working. Oh, there we go. What I want to ask is to go back to the issue of the Highland Water Project. It's something that has concerned me. I see that we've asked questions about this before. Can the AG just give us an oversight on the current governance structures and the effectivity of them? I see that there was a situation with the Highland Water Commission where the South African delegates were not all appointed. There were vacancies. Has that been changed? Have they been appointed? And in what state is sort of governance structure at this point? Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable von Nienen. Honourable Bukas.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I will leave my video off because of network. In acknowledging the presentation, Chair, I note that under Program 3, there was an underspending in infrastructure project. And one of the reasons is the delay by municipality to finalize design and environmental impact assessment. Now, I want to ask, Chair, in the view of the AG, is it because of a lack of monitoring tools, or what is the reason for that? Then secondly, Chair, under water, the water trading entity, there is an improvement in the areas of qualification, but the financial statements remain a problem. Now, I want to know, Chair, was the improvement due to the appointment of consultants, and are they also making use of consultants to prepare the annual financial statements? Then lastly, Chair, how often do they have engagement with the department? And when was the last engagement after the filling of the vacancies of those senior positions in January? And according to them, is there progress or process to address the current situation through the development of an action plan? Thank you, Chair.
What to you, Andres?
Thank you, Honorable Chair Tasomio. Apologies. So we are just using two devices in the same boardroom. So apologies for that, members. Now, thank you for the questions, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. So I'll start with the easier questions or the more straightforward questions that deal directly with the department, and then I'll end off with the questions that were asked by Honorable Van Men and Honorable Beerkes. The engagements with the department, let me outright mention and state that we do meet regularly with the appointed accounting officer and the appointed CFO, as well as the minister. The minister has actually been very accessible because you would recall that the Office of the AG is also presenting today, as we speak, as a matter of fact, the Auditor General is presenting the first report on the floods, the disaster relief program in KZN. The department also had a small role to play there in terms of their support in that regard. And we did meet quite regularly with the minister as part of not only the audit, but also as part of that particular engagement. So I must commend the DG and the appointed DG, the appointed CFO and the minister in terms of their accessibility and always availing themselves whenever we want to highlight these issues. So all these significant issues that we've discussed here today were brought to the attention of the accounting officer. So as soon as Dr. Phillips got appointed in January, we set up a meeting with Dr. Phillips and we actually just in 30 minutes highlighted all these key issues that we wanted the department to focus on, and that will now also respond to the second question that was asked by Honorable Beerkes, in the sense that whether there was an improvement in this regard. So Honorable Beerkes, like we mentioned earlier on, these outcomes are for 31 March 2021. So as of the 31st of March 2022, the department had actually improved in terms of how it was able to account for this particular project. So they improved their audit outcomes to an unqualified, which we will discuss as soon as the final tablings and the BRRR processes unfold. So certainly the appointed accounting officer and the CFO, they've taken quite good strides to try and resolve this issue. And it was important to do so, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, because it exposed the department to having overpaid and not having received a value. So in this regard, even though the money may have gone, at least now that you've picked it up, you are able to engage your implementing agent and your service providers and say, hey, you owe me money. Let's now look at the recovery processes whilst we finalize this engagement. So there was definitely improvement in that regard. Insofar as it relates to the preparation of financial statements, I'm going to say I'm pleased to announce that they didn't rely heavily on consultants. As a matter of fact, the financial statements were prepared by the management team under the guidance of the newly appointed CFO or the appointed CFO. So they do have certain controls and the material misstatements which we identified. So there is still room for improvement. However, in this regard, they were able to deal with the gaps that we had identified and hence no qualifications in this regard. It's just making sure that those smaller control gaps that we have, that we identified during the audit after they had given us financial statements, which they were able to correct, that they now implement measures that by the time they actually do give us the financial statements on the 31st of May, that their own controls and systems of internal controls were of such a nature that there are no issues that we pick up when we come and do the audit. So there was definitely improvement in that regard. The reasons for the underspending on Program 2, it is quite a varied bunch of reasons in this regard, but predominantly there is a concern with the planning and oversight measures, as we have highlighted on page 13 of the report. So there's a lack of planning and oversight processes in this regard. Then the department has indicated some of the challenges with regard to the contracts and the protests in the particular project. So a varied number of reasons in this regard. And thank you to my colleague who also brought some of the information quickly over so that I could also be able to respond to the question completely and holistically. Then the last question, which is actually the first question that we will respond to, will be through you, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, around the oversight and governance processes and structures insofar as it relates to the Lesotho Highlands Water Project. So, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, it is quite a bit of a, a complex structure in terms of how the project is set up. So the project is set up in such a way that we part with money, so we pay money to a institution or an agency on the opposite side of the border. That institution must use that money and construct the actual project. But how the treaty is written, the treaty actually has a clear articulation of the roles and responsibilities of the particular role players. The role players in this regard are the Trans-Caledon Tunnel Authority, which is the TCTA, and then you have the WT and the DWS, which represent the interests of our government this side. And on the opposite side of the border, you have the Lesotho Highlands Development Agency, or the LHDA, which then represents the interests of the Lesotho government on that side. But because you are dealing with two sovereign entities, the treaty then made provision for the Lesotho Highlands Water Commission. The commission is the central body that must sit between these two parties or the two governments, and then make sure that the transactions are treated fairly. So in other words, once we've paid at the end of the year, the commission is supposed to take all the payments made for the year and then unpack and analyze them and look what they've purchased on the other side. That evidence then gets submitted to the commission. The commission must then sit and see, does the evidence that we've paid for the money for, is it justified? And if there are any over or underpayments, then they must correct it in the year going forward. So they must then indicate and say, okay, South Africa, we paid 100 on the project. Your portion was supposed to have been 60. However, we note that your actual portion was 50. So you may have then overpaid with the 60. So going forward for next year, this small 10 that you overpaid in the current year will then be reconciled for next year's project. So next year when they do the reconciliations again, that must be accounted for. Now, unfortunately, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, those particular key controls and steps were not put into a place over the past, I think I mentioned from 2011 at least, but it might the evidence that we had in terms of the numbers indicate that it could have been as far back as from 2006. So from 2006, these reconciliations, these annual reconciliations, were not always done diligently and as timely as required. It sometimes takes 18 months to finalize these reconciliation processes. So we want a bit of better improvement, because that will make sure that by the time we come to reporting and there's accountability and oversight that must take place, that you are dealing with more recent numbers and you've got a more recent picture of the representing the project and what we have parted with. So the Lesotho Highlands Water Project, the Lesotho Highlands Water Commission, that is their role, where they must sit and sort of mediate and look at the information, unpack it as the governance structure in this regard. So the commission itself comprises of a number of delegates from South Africa, as mentioned by Honorable Van Minnen, and then also some representative from the Lesotho government. And between them, they then make sure that the process is supposed to be as fair as practically possible. Insofar as the actual appointments are concerned, Honorable Van Minnen, maybe this one I would respectfully ask that we park it and then we just follow up with the department in terms of the finalization of those appointments. We are aware that as part of this whole engagement, trying to finalize the royalties potential overpayment issue, that they were also making changes to the delegation or the delegates that were nominated to that. So we don't have the information off by hand. And if you don't mind, we can just touch base with the department and unpack that and then get back to you in this regard. Then there's also the TCTA in terms of their role and responsibility. So what the TCTA does from a support point of view, they get the money from the department, or they go to the market, they go source funds from the market, and they take those money that they would have gotten from the market, they avail the money to the Lesotho of government so that the project can keep on moving. And then as the money, the project is constructed and we get the water delivered to South Africa then uses the water to on-sell it to the users, and the money that we get from the users is the money that we then use to then pay the liabilities or the money that we would have then borrowed from the market. So over and above the putting the project into funding, they also have a responsibility to play in making sure that when the water is delivered through the tunnel in Clarence, that a representative from our country, which is the TCTA, then goes with a representative from the government of Lesotho. They both read the meters and make sure that the quantities that are being delivered are accurate and reliable, so that information is the one that is used to then generate the invoices and the amount that will then be due to be paid to the government of Lesotho. And in that regard, we also identified one or two gaps where those processes were not always diligently adhered to in terms of making sure that our representatives are there signing off on time, and then also making sure that if we do the calculations and the computations for the royalty, that eventually we use the correct figure so that we can make the correct payments in this regard. Honorable Chair, I will stop there, and I hope I've then sufficiently responded to the questions, comments, and input. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much, Andres. Colleagues, are there any additional questions? If not, as I see that there are no further hands in the system, with appreciation for what has been tabled by the team in terms of clarity, but though very massive on the details, it calls on us to prepare even further when we engage with the department on what the AG's office has deliberated upon. And therefore, relevance, one would want us to know, Andres, that there is a 2021-2022 report and financials which are within your own process. And what is the indication for the tabling of such financials and the actual audit report, so that even if we would have to arrange a meeting with the department, there would have been some form of alignment for that information, looking into the relevance, though, as you have cited, some instances which relate to the improvement on the audit 2021-2022. Andres?
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Thank you, Tata Somnyo. The department has actually just submitted its draft annual report to the Office of the AG for review, because obviously before the table, we just reviewed the annual report just to make sure that it contains our audited financial statements and that whatever else they contain in the audit report, in the forewords and explanatory notes, does not contradict materially so what we would have then audited and the facts that as we would have then unpacked them during the audit process. So we received the draft annual report, Honorable Chair. We are busy reviewing that. Hopefully then the department would then be in a position to finalize its tabling so that it can then facilitate the budget and BRRR processes in October. And then once they've tabled, then Honorable Chair and Honorable Members can take it forward in terms of then engaging on that particular set of audit outcomes. Thanks, Honorable Chair.
Thank you very much. Colleagues, let's appreciate the a report and the actual details from the Auditor General's office, and therefore would await some kind of our own programming, which is going to inform how we take these matters forward with the concerned department and its own entities. So thank you very much for your patience. The report has been along quite appropriately because it covers quite a number of areas, and the detail which has come out of it is appreciable detail. And therefore, we would need to take forward these matters and take the details appropriately for us to engage in a manner which is going to be productive with the department going forward. So the meeting adjourned. Thank you very much, colleagues.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Member.
Thank you.